all. Before we go to God's word, let's just pray a prayer here. Dear God, open our minds and our hearts to receive your word and realize anew your promises. Open our eyes to see more clearly what your plan and purpose is for our lives, and our ears to hear what you have to say to us this morning and apply that to our lives. We love you, Father. Amen. Amen. So I shared this message on the first Sunday of 2020 in Goderich, my home church, Trinity Church. And now I get to share it with you here in Wingham on this first Sunday of February. And it's still near the first of the year, so it works, right? I chose a passage from Jeremiah. Yes, that might be surprising because Jeremiah is described, well, he's known as the weeping prophet, the prophet of doom. His message is pretty down and out. His name, some say, means Lord, the Lord throws, which does make sense because he was literally thrown into a pit. He was banished. He had to work and to be a prophet giving God's messages during the darkest times in Israel's history. FYI, for your information, this is the longest book in the Bible. It has more words in it than any other book in the Bible. So why start the new year off with a downer prophet? Well, tucked inside the pages of this large Bible book is promise and hope and very important and practical and real advice that applies to you and me today. Now, his calling was very real. It came straight from God. We read it right in the opening chapter, and often it starts with during the 13th reign of King Josiah, the son of Ammon, the king of Judah. And I love this because the Bible then gives the historical context so that it has historical credibility. And it took place when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. He predicted the conflict with other countries. Babylon had come and tore down their cities, and they would take the Israelites as captives back to Babylon. You see, sin has consequences, and this was Jeremiah's warning to the people. Jehovah God had clearly instructed the Israelites that if they turned away from him, if they served other gods, he would send other nations to destroy them. God had been patient for many years and through many, many rulers. But now the time had come. It was not a surprise. There was plenty of warning. So the Babylonians had moved into Judah, and now they seized Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and they were moving the Israelites to Babylon. That was a 700-kilometer trek to live in this foreign land. And they were captives now, exiled to Babylon. But let's understand a little more. The Israelites were taken to Babylon. However, they were given land to live on. They were free to do their business. They were not in the promised land anymore, so to speak, but they had their freedom. God had moved the heart of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, not to destroy the Israelites, but simply take them back as captives to their own land, living now in a strange land. New tastes, new smells. They did not know the language. They were really refugees. But God lived with them. He did not abandon them. They lived in a new country where Jehovah was not worshipped. Much like our own country, a non-Christian nation today as well. So they were exiles. Now, I did a series a few years ago with our youth, and it was called Letters to the Exiles. And we were taken on an expedition to discover what it means to be exiles, strangers in a strange land, discovering God's plan for our lives. But bigger yet, discovering God's plan for the whole world. As Evan led us through, he said, imagine if we worked for the good of the cities around us. Seeing the bigger picture of God's plan, how Christians fit into that, not just living for ourselves, but for the good of the world around us, for the life of the world. Do you see it? We too are exiles. We are living in this world. It's our temporary home, a strange land often, a far from perfect, far from God place. But God is here. Yes, we know that our final home is heaven. But what do we do in the meantime? Some Christians make our home on earth almost so temporary, almost useless. Like, let's get through this quick. It's only for a short time. And then the heaven's there. In fact, last week I heard a preacher on the radio say that we're tourists on this earth. Well, that's pretty useless. Tourists, they leave their money, but they don't invest in the country. They don't build into it and become part of it. Some Christians believe that, well, we have to live fortified lives and keep the world out. And then there's Christians that continually fight the culture and beat on it. It's such a horrible, bad, bad world. And then there is those who become so accommodating that we almost forget what we stand for. Sometimes it's like, well, salvation is only about heaven, the promised land, and we're just putting in time here. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, from God's will. And Jeremiah 29 gives us a picture of our mission. It shows God's promises for us, hope and purpose, in often a strange land, a counter-Christian culture. So let's go back to Babylon for a minute. The Israelites arrive in their captor's country. New surroundings, like we said, everything's feeling a little strange, and what now? Well, some of their prophets had come along, and they had told the people, it's going to be okay. This is only temporary. We won't be in Babylon very long, so don't unpack your suitcases. The exile will end soon. You know, 2 years, tops, and we'll be back home again. However, so in this context, God is telling Jeremiah to send a message. He had stayed back in Jerusalem, okay? That was by choice, and that was fine. But he was then giving this message that he was sending to the people in Babylon, counter to what the people were being told by their prophets. And he writes Jeremiah 29. So let's start with verse 1 there. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem, okay, it's from Jerusalem, to the elders among the exiles, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people that Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, this was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother and the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans had all gone into exile from Jerusalem. Do you see, it was everybody. It was the queen mother. It was everybody. It was the skilled people. They didn't just leave somebody. All the people ended up going there. And then he entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, now you can imagine, this letter is coming to the exiles there. Hey, we got a letter from back home, and everybody's gathering around, and they're excited to see, what's God going to tell us? This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile. God used Nebuchadnezzar. I carried you into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So here's your job. This is my message to you. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number while you're there. Do not decrease. Also, this is the big also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. I have brought you here. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now, this does not sound like a short-term plan. God is telling them to settle down, build, plant, marry, multiply, seek peace for your communities, for your city, and pray for Babylon. These are long-term actions. These are activities that means you are establishing community for the long haul. Settle in, build, plant, marry, help your city, and even pray for your captors. Don't revolt against them. Wouldn't that seem like the natural thing to do? No, God gives the command to pray for their good, because if they prosper, you will prosper too. Work for the peace of Babylon. Be faithful subjects is what God is telling you. Be good citizens. And then we reiterate the passage from 1 Timothy 2, verse 2. That's our mandate today too, where Paul writes, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. And that's why we always pray for our country and our leaders. So this new strange land is now their home, God tells them. Make this your home. This is my gift to you, and I am here with you, and I have a mission for you. And then we remember Abraham. Remember, God made a covenant with Abraham way back in Genesis 12. He too went to a strange country. God brought him there, and God's promises that he made to Abraham continue right to the Israelites then and to us today, where the Lord said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Israel must continue to be a blessing to all the nations. You and I, we are to carry on that blessing as descendants of Abraham, which we are through Jesus Christ, his son. And now we are sons and daughters, and God is our father. So there is purpose in their exile. God continues to give his gifts. Sometimes we may feel in exile, like strangers in our workplace or in our communities or in our world at large. But God says to engage, to assist, to help prosper. In another translation, it says, seek the welfare, seek the good, make it a better place, be light and show your light. Isaiah said it, be a light to the nations, to the Gentiles, to those who don't know Jesus. That's our job. And Jeremiah's message, which was God's message to Israel, living as strangers in a strange land, living as exiles, he said, build, plant, marry, increase, prosper, pray. These are all permanent, life-giving commands, and those same commands apply to us today. God continues the mandate that he gave right to Adam and Eve at the very beginning when the world began, as God had planned it for his world. He says it to us today from Genesis 1, verse 28. He said to Adam and Eve, God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Use it. Have it. It's my gift to you. God said it again to Noah. Remember, the whole earth was destructed, and then Noah and his family, when they exited from the ark finally, you know what's the first thing he did? He built an altar and gave a sacrifice to God, a thanksgiving. And God said to them right there, he reiterated that mandate, be fruitful and increase in number and fill this earth. Don't live passively in my world. Live actively in my world. Give life to the world you live in. Pray for it, and it will prosper. Help it to prosper. Build and plant, because this is for the long haul. This is to increase. And as we are living in this new year, 2020, we look ahead and we take inventory. What is it that the Lord requires of us as his people, both individually and collectively? And you know what the verse is? The first one that comes to my mind is the GEMS verse. And it's from Micah 6, verse 8. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Wow, that really sums it up. that ties in so well with the message of Jeremiah, which was written hundreds of years ago and applies to us today. We are to be that light and that salt, as Jesus told us. We need to be difference makers, bring light into darkness, add salt, which is like the preservative, preserve our communities, engage in our communities, in our teams, in our organizations, better our community and our workplace, our schools, and wherever God places us, and be open to the uncomfortable, to the strange places at times, believing that God can use us there. Give light to darkness and shine. You know, I love this church, and I love coming to Maitland River Church. I see you making a difference in your community. Many years ago already, the broken branches blitz, and you had the ball caps, and my grandkids told me all about it, and they still wear them. And you're called to serve days where you're blessing your community, and your ministries that reach out to all age groups. Your openness into welcoming others. Continue to be that faithful light. Do it for Him. So let's go back to Babylon again. The prophets were telling the Israelites, they were saying, this is just for a little while, but that was in direct opposition to God's message. Jeremiah's message put them in their place. He said, yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to their dreams that they encourage you to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them. So the Israelites, he said to them basically, unpack your bags, help your communities, live here, be a blessing, bring peace and prosper, and they will prosper and pray for your city. And God gives a further promise to the Israelites then in Jeremiah 29:10. He gives a little bit of hope, but he does say it'll be a while. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will come to you and I will fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place, back to Judah. Now, 70 years in the Bible meant a full generation, okay? You're going to be born and buried here, sort of thing. And so it would be a long time. Was it exactly 70? We're not sure, but we know that was for it would be for the generations to live. And so there was tension in this. Jehovah God gives a promise, and he gives the same promise to us in all of this too. He continues as he talks about their suffering, and he continues with a very well-known verse. And it's so good to get it in this context. In fact, my daughter Sarah and her husband Ron, this was their wedding text. This text, this promise, is not to keep us from suffering. It's not a promise for clear sailing, but it was said in the context of everything that we have seen now. And it's said in the context of this strange country, of this exile. This is my promise to all who will trust me, to those who belong to me. He says, I am your God, you are my people. And he writes then in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, even though at times it seems like that. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Isn't that beautiful? I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Seek me for the right purposes. Seek me for your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I have carried you into exile. God is a finding God. He pursues. He seeks out. For I know the plans, we confess, plans to prosper, plans to bless. And now this prosper does not mean prosperity religion, okay? In the Hebrew, the prosper actually points to shalom, to peace for your community, for peace even in your exile, even in your storms, even in the hard times. and not to harm. God doesn't want harm for us. He says, I will give you hope and a future. And then when things are tough, you remember those promises, and you will call on me, and you will pray, and God promises, I will listen. There will be suffering. You will feel exiled, and you are, but you will find me, and I will be found by you. Isn't that the best news ever? Isn't that a great way to start a new year? And we are challenged individually. Go out there. Live in this world. Build. Plant. Do business. Increase. Pray for all. God wants us to do the things that He designed us as human beings to do. To raise families. To plant crops. To have jobs. To eat meals. To enjoy life here on earth. Sometimes we think that God is only pleased when we're doing the most spiritual activities, when we're reading our Bible and going to church, when we're praying and sharing our faith. Oh, that's good. But God enjoys watching you and me in the every detail of our lives. Everything matters to Him. Working, playing, resting, eating. Every human activity, except sin, can be done for God's pleasure. Give Him praise for that. You can wash dishes, repair a machine, sell a product, write a computer program, grow a crop, raise a family, read, play sports, write tests, take a hike, all for the glory of God. And we are challenged as church, individually, but also as church. God calls the church to be a place of hope. Many years ago, we learned at the Global Leadership Summit, the local church is the hope of the world. Right here. It starts right here. Yes, we pray for missionaries across the world, but our first mission is right here in Wingham. Keep on being faithful. For the sake of the city, as Jeremiah writes, I guess we'll have to say for the sake of the town, but hey, in our perspective, Wingham's a city too, right? We need to be a light as church and seek the welfare of our city, of our town, and pray for it. A few thousands of years ago, this was scribed by the prophet. And you know, isn't it cool? It applies to us today. Pray for the shalom of Babylon. Pray for the shalom of Wingham. Pray for the shalom of Goderich. Pray for the relationships within our communities, for God's love and justice to be expressed in all relationships. And that will transform our cities and towns. The Israelites lived in exile for many years. They followed God's command. And you know what? They prospered. They increased in numbers. They were good citizens. And they were blessing their communities. They prospered and Babylon prospered. They prayed for their city and for the places they lived, and they were rewarded. Because along came King Cyrus. He came to power finally, and he had seen all that they had done and their faithfulness. And you know what? He sent the Israelites back to Jerusalem to rebuild their city, to rebuild their temple. Nehemiah went with them as their leader. And you know what? The king even sent gifts and gold, and he helped them reestablish themselves. He even provided protection. God uses leaders and times and places. And when you think of that, think of people living in strange countries, away from their homes, and God used them even as they were exiles. I think of other Bible characters. Do you remember them? Joseph. Yes. He helped Egypt through the famine. He was a commander right next to Pharaoh. Daniel. He was a ruler with King Nebuchadnezzar in exile with Babylon too. And Esther. She was with King Xerxes in Persia. She became queen and saved her people. God can use us, even in tough circumstances where we may land in. He uses it for good. Sometimes it may take many years, we see. But Jehovah is faithful. God's plan is bigger than we can see. And He wants us to live today and every day full, rich lives. Build, plant, work, marry, and increase. Establish yourselves in His will for His purpose. And you will prosper, and you will receive His peace. and pray always for our neighbors and for our workplaces, our cities, and our communities. Lord, help us to be faithful citizens and conscientious workers, because our boss lives in heaven, and building loving, faithful marriages and families. So important. And respect those in authority and pray for them, because God's promise stands forever. Call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So go home today. Go to Jeremiah in your Bible and highlight those verses in the middle of the prophet of doom, Jeremiah 29, the down and out prophet, but there is light and hope. Be light and reflect the love of Jesus. Bring hope. Be Jesus, his hands and his feet, and love with his grace and love for the life of the world. May God help us in this year once again. May his plans be our plans, and may we engage in new ways in our communities and homes and teams and schools and workplaces and wherever we go. Amen. Shall we pray? May we learn from the Israelites, Lord. Help us to impact our communities, our homes and schools and workplaces, and all our activities to prosper and seek the welfare of all. Bless our cities. We pray for Wingham. Bless and prosper her. We pray for Maitland River Community Church to bless and prosper others. Help us to be faithful as you are faithful, as you were so long ago to the Israelites and as you are to us today. Let our plans be your plans. We pray for your shalom and your peace always. Amen.